direction that the church is moving. And so the elders decided that this book could be a helpful tool for us to learn how to be reaching out into our community better, because this is what we really want to do. There was a survey that was done just very recently. It was reported in the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada magazine, and what it said was this, that 60% of religiously unaffiliated people, so people who don't go to church, who don't have any connection with any faith group at all, 60% of those people are curious about why people are religious. 60% of those people are curious about other people's religious devotion. This would be 60% of your neighbors who aren't in church this morning. They are wondering, how come those guys go to church? I mean, what's happening there? What is it about this faith in God that actually makes them tick? 60%. Now, honestly, I think we don't believe this. Do you know what I'm saying? I think we think, oh, our neighbors, they don't care. They're not interested. They're not interested in faith. They're not interested in God. But this is a very recent survey, 2022. 60% of religiously unaffiliated people with no church contact are curious about other people's religious devotion. So this is an opportunity for us then, over these weeks, to pray for people who don't know, our good friends who don't know the Lord yet. You remember a few weeks ago we had these multicolored 3x5 cards that we wrote some names on. And I'm just confessing to you, like, this is my card. I left it at home when we were gone for the last 3 weeks. I've not been praying every day for these people. And I'm starting again. Are you with me? That we decided, or at least we hoped to decide a few weeks ago, that we would be praying diligently every day for some of our friends who don't know the Lord Jesus yet, because we really want them to know the Lord Jesus. So I'm just asking you if you would renew that prayer effort. And then 2 weeks ago, Don spoke about blessing other people in our world. And 1 week ago, Peter Luscombe spoke about eating with other people, just creating time for us to be together with people who don't know the Lord Jesus yet, and asking the Lord to do something with that. So we want to make people more curious about the Lord and about what it means to actually be a Christian. And so to this end, I have asked my good friend and my brother, same father, different mother, this is my friend Jeff McLean. Jeff, come on up here, please. Jeff is a builder. He actually builds like things, like houses and things like that. But he's also very interested in building men. He's the guy who leads our men's ministry here, and he has a lovely family. And he and his wife Paula are wanting to build that family into a place where Jesus Christ is really at the center. So Jeff's going to talk with us a little bit today about keeping Jesus Christ the center. The goal today is to talk about learning Jesus. We've had these practices, blessing others, eating with others, learning more about Jesus. That's where we're going today. With this, it's a little bit flipped from what it is in the book, but don't worry about that. And Jeff is going to talk with us about keeping Jesus at the center. I'm going to pray for him just before he speaks. Lord, I thank you for my brother. Thank you for Jeff. Thank you for his love for you and his love for his family and his love, Lord, for this church, for the people of God. Thank you that he also loves people who don't know you yet and wants them to come to faith in Jesus. So would you bless him as he speaks with us this morning? Open our hearts, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All yours, Jeff. Oh,
thank you. Well, good morning. like Doug said, I've been asked to take a few minutes and to share some life experiences with you. But I thought today I would do things a little different. Instead of standing here preaching to you, I would just like to talk to you about a question that I've asked myself many, many times. And maybe some of you have asked that same question. Where am I looking when life's not fun? To say the least, these past couple years haven't been all that easy. We have all experienced hardships and struggles long before COVID, but this pandemic certainly has brought our struggles to the forefront. We've had to deal with financial and health concerns, time away from family and friends, and the fear of not knowing what tomorrow will bring. So today, I would like to share with you a short devotional and a couple of stories about my experience with life struggles and looking to Christ for guidance. It's funny, the day Doug talked to me about sharing with you and what we were going to talk about, the next day this devotional came through, and it's titled, When Bad Things Happen. It starts off with Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Each day I follow the local and world news, and I find it difficult to absorb the reality of the bad things that happen. I would rather live in a world where nothing bad happened to anyone. However, this is not the way it is in our world. Bad things happen to all of us. Things that break our spirits and leave us deep wounds. In this life, we have all experienced more than our share of sadness and grief. Sometimes we struggle to understand how God could allow such pain and heartache to exist in His world. How could a loving, all-powerful God allow a world so full of evil and sadness? There is no easy answer to this question. In fact, I hesitate to offer answers to those who are hurting because they often sound trite and uncaring. We have a severely handicapped daughter at home, so my wife and I have heard all the answers before. Well-intentioned people just trying to help. Yet, I also realize that people need to work through their questions in a way that will turn them toward God and not away from Him. He will sustain and comfort those who seek Him, but those who turn from Him in bitterness and resentment will not find His comfort. In Scripture, He is referred to as the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Perhaps God's willingness to allow a world where bad things continue to happen is evidence of His mercy. I can recognize that this is easier to accept when bad things are not happening to you. If, as Scripture declares, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and the wages of sin is death, the fact that anyone is alive and not under God's wrath is evidence of God's mercy. We are the ones who rebelled against a good Creator. God created a good universe. Human beings rebelled, and every aspect of our suffering relates to this reality. Thankfully, God has taken action to reverse these horrible effects and their root cause. He has also given us the promise of a new heaven and earth where neither sin nor sorrow will ever be experienced again. Until this promise is fulfilled, bad things will continue to happen. Christians will disappoint one another, and we will struggle with the sad and painful experiences of living in a world that is not the way it is supposed to be. By faith, based on God's promise, we must patiently wait for all things to be made new. Now, late last year, I was walking through one of those large hardware stores in London. As I walked through the paint section, there was a man standing there. I said hi to him and asked him how his day was going. He replied, "Hello," and, "You don't want to know, so don't get me started." I looked at him and said, "Well, if I didn't want to know, I wouldn't have asked." So for the next 20 minutes, he told me all that was on his mind. He had my full attention the whole time, But what he said next really got my attention. What is it with religious people? I have two friends who are believers, and whenever we talk, just like you and I are, they always bring up Jesus and the gospel. I just wish they would stop talking about it and keep quiet. He paused for a minute. Maybe I'm just jealous. We all go through the same struggles and hardships, and yet they always seem calm and have this feeling that no matter what, it will all be okay. But for me, I'm not sure what tomorrow will bring. And I always seem to be chasing something to help. And then he asked, "What are your thoughts?" I said, "Let's get started with you wanting your friends to keep quiet and keep the gospel to themselves." So I reached on my phone and I said, "How about we open our Bible?" I turned to Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you and I, you commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And then I looked at him and I said, "As Christians, we are called to proclaim the good news of the gospel and to share the love of Jesus with others. We are not called to keep it to ourselves. And when your friends are sharing the gospel with you and trying to help you through your difficult times, they are just comforting you in the same way God has comforted them in their times of need." And you mentioned about always searching for something. While they seem certain, I flipped to Matthew 7:24-27. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet the house did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a fool, or like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." And I also heard it said like this, that we are islands out in the ocean. We Christians are standing on an island, on this island of truth, unshakable, unsinkable, and shelter through the worst storms. For non-believers, they stand on an island, that will provide comfort and shelter for a short time, but it will run out. The island will sink. You will swim to the next island. In time, it too will sink. And that will go on and on and on, always searching. And I said, "I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Next time you are with your friends and they are sharing, do not dismiss them. Do not tell them to be quiet. But please listen. The words they speak are the words God wants you to hear." Then we prayed and we went our separate ways. Now, I started to think about his friends, what he said about them, how they always seem to have everything together, nothing seems to faze them. And I got thinking how further from the truth that is. As Christians, we all have faced hard times and struggles. Sorry. As many of you know, this past Thursday, May 19th, Paul and I and the kids remembered our son, Braden, who was called home 9 years ago. This day for us and all who knew Braden has always been challenging and a day full of emotion. A number of years ago for me, it was overwhelming. It started out about a month before. these little life storms started to hit me. I made the mistake of saying I can handle it or I'll deal with it later. But these storms kept coming and I kept pushing them aside. Before I knew it, the weight of the world was on my shoulders. It was pushing me down. I felt like I was drowning. I felt lost, confused, and seeing no way out. Then one night I prayed and asked God for help. I didn't want to feel this way anymore. The next night, at a small men's study, I walked. I need to talk. I have a problem. I talked. I cried. They listened. They prayed. The problems didn't disappear that night. But through God, it gave me clarity and it put my feet back on the path. And I knew which direction I had to go to get through this storm. Now, I wish I could tell you that once you go through these life storms, walk through those clouds, and you see the sunshine, that you will never have to face that storm again. But it was almost exactly 1 year later. It was Saturday morning of the May long weekend. I woke up about 4:30, feeling restless. I decided to get up and start the day. As I was walking to the kitchen, all of a sudden, I felt the weight of the world pushing down on me again. At that moment, I knew that I couldn't go through that again. I prayed to God for help. But when I opened the cupboard door, I seen my favorite coffee mug. And on it is Psalm 18:2, God is my rock. I read this word rock, and it kept jumping out at me. As a home builder, the word rock always meant something solid, something that you could build on, an unmovable foundation. Once again, I looked at Matthew 7:24-27. Like a wise man who built his house on the rock, the rain came down and the streams rose. The winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And yet again, the words, the wind blew, led me to Matthew 8:25-26. The disciples went and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And then I remember this story that I once heard. It was about this young pastor down in Georgia. He was beginning his ministry at his new church, and to say the least, things were not going well for him. He was struggling with his sermons, the congregation was not connecting with him, and there's becoming dissension between him and the leaders of the church. And then one night, or one day after church, this couple invited him over for lunch. And as they were having lunch, they asked him, do you mind sharing with us what's going on in your life and what you see going on at the church? So for a few moments, he shared with them. And at the end, they said, thank you. Thank you for the humility and the encouragement to share with us. But we have to say that we are very discouraged with a couple of things that we noticed while you were talking. Two words happened to dominate your conversation. It was me and I. And not once did you mention God. Once again, they sat there in silence. Then the couple directed his attention to a picture on the wall. They asked him, "What do you see in this picture?" The pastor simply replied, "Well, it's a picture of Daniel in the lion's den." They looked at him and they said, "Well, you want to know what we see? We see you. We see you trapped in this den, focused on yourself, looking around for a way out, trying to find an exit that you yourself will never find. We see you surrounded by your problems, focusing on them, waiting for them to attack. But do you notice where Daniel's looking? Daniel isn't looking at this den that he cannot get out of. He's not focused on the lions. He's focused on God. So we're going to tell you that's where you need to put your focus now, today, is on God. And after that, I poured a cup of coffee, went out to Braden's tree, and I asked myself this question. The question that I've asked myself every day since then, whether through the good times or the bad. Jeff, where is your heart focused? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sins, for showing us how to love one another, and to be compassionate towards others in their times of need, for bridging the gap between a sinful world and our Father in heaven. Lord, I pray for our church family. We all have concerns, worries, and fears. Sometimes our struggles may be bigger than us, but they are not bigger than you. Dear God, please continue to watch over us and continue to bless each and every one of us. Amen.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I don't know if you knew Jeff's story before, but losing a young son is heartbreaking. And God met Jeff and Paula in such a difficult, heart-wrenching time, and met them with great power and continues to meet them. Jesus is like that. He's wonderful. He meets us in our times of need, and he's always available for us. He's always there with his arms wide open for us to come to him. And our goal here at Community Bible Church to be a Christ-centered community is desiring to keep Jesus Christ at the center of all things. Now, why Jesus? Why should Jesus be at the center of all these things? And I'd like to just read one simple verse from Scripture and talk about it for just a minute. It's from John chapter 1, where Jesus shows up. John the Baptist is baptizing people, and Jesus is walking by. And John the Baptist stops what he's doing and looks at Jesus, and in John chapter 1, verse 29, John stops everything he's doing, and he says, "Behold," which means stop everything and take a look at this. I mean, this is really important. "Behold, the Lamb of God who who takes away the sins of the world. John's giving this description of who Jesus really is. Who is this? Behold, take a careful look at. Don't miss him. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And just think about the sins of the world for a minute. The whole world, what Jesus did on the cross, what he did in his life, in his teaching, in his death on the cross, and in his resurrection. Jesus comes to take away the sins of the world for whoever will believe in him. It's amazing. It's cosmic. It's huge. The sins of the whole world. And then think about, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The sins, all of our self-centeredness, all of in the world of this conflict between men and women, the conflict between nations and nations, sort of like we see in Ukraine right now, the conflict between people of different tribal groups, the conflicts and all of the selfishness that happens in our relationships, and in our homes, and in our workplaces, in our educational institutions. Jesus comes to take all of these sins and to take them away. He does something about it. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. His desire is to take them away. And you think of that, not just let them sit and fester and get worse, but to actually pick them up, take them out of our life. When I think of this in my own personal way, my personal sin, my personal rebellion, my personal selfishness, for Jesus to come and to take away those sins, and actually he took them off of me and put them on himself when he died on the cross. What an amazing thing. He removes those things from us, and he took them as if they were his own, and he paid the price for them. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So the burden of sin, the shame of it all, is not on our backs anymore. So we can really be free. A freedom to love God and to really love the other people in our world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. What was John thinking when he said that? The Lamb of God. There are so many references to lambs in the Bible that have this powerful imagery to them. For example, when Adam and Eve sinned, they realized that they were naked, and God clothed them with skins, right? That's what the Bible tells us. Where did the skins come from? There must have been the sacrifice of some animal, maybe a lamb, to clothe them with lamb's wool. We don't know. But there was a sacrifice of something that covered up their sinfulness. Perhaps John was thinking about the Passover lamb. You remember when the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt? They sacrificed a lamb, and they painted the blood on their doorposts up and down across like this. They painted the blood there, and because of that sacrificial lamb, those people were taken out of slavery and given a freedom. What a picture of what Jesus, the Lamb of God, does for us. He takes us out of the slavery of the sin that would hold us and bind us, and gives us a freedom to live for him in a new way. And I think listening to Jeff's testimony this morning, his story about how Jesus, the Lamb of God, comforts us in our times of great loss, great disappointment, and great suffering in this world. Jesus, the Lamb of God, comes to us, as a great comforter to help us in our time of need. I think the final image maybe of a lamb that I would refer to anyway comes from Revelation chapter 5, where John himself, who's writing this for us, is talking about a vision that he has of heaven. And there's a need for a savior, a need for someone to open a scroll and to understand what's written, the plan of God for the future. But nobody's worthy to open this scroll. And an angel comes to him and says, oh, don't worry about this. There is someone who can open this scroll. And he turns and he sees this lion, this conquering, powerful lion. The Lion of Judah can open the scroll. And as he turns to see this lion, instead, do you know what he sees? He sees a lamb as if it was slain. The Lamb of God. And that scripture continues to say this. Lord Jesus, conquering Lamb, you are worthy of our worship, O Lord Jesus, because you were slain, and by your blood you purchased men and women for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Why would we want Jesus to be the center of this community? And why do we urge people to know Jesus and to love Jesus? Because he is the central figure in all of history. And at the end of time, he will be the one who is worshiped in heaven above. And there's this picture in Revelation 5 of these elders and others kneeling down and worshiping him. And outside of that circle are these thousands and hundreds of thousands of angels who are worshiping him. And outside of that circle is a number of people that can't be numbered, of people who've been washed of their sins. People who've believed in Jesus who are worshiping the Lamb. Jesus is the center of it all because he's worthy, absolutely worthy. He's the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. This is why we want to focus on Jesus and keep CBC as a Christ-centered church. He's the Savior of the world, and he is so worthy of all of our life and all of our worship and everything. So this week, our challenge is to focus on Jesus. If you're reading this book, you'll see that when it comes to the learning Jesus part of it, our goal this week is to spend a concentrated time of either reading through some of the Gospels and just meditating, Lord Jesus, what are you like? How do I focus on you? How do I become more like you? And there are a couple of huge benefits to this. One is just the devotional benefit of focusing on Jesus. Our hearts will be warmed towards Jesus. Our love for Jesus will grow as we spend time reading about him and just saturating our mind with the beauty of Jesus' life and ministry and his teaching. But the second thing is there's a missional emphasis to this, that if we're going to be sharing our love for Jesus with other people, we need to be strengthening our love for Jesus. So this time of spending special time with Jesus will strengthen us so that we can share him better with others. So the challenge this week is for us to keep praying for our five people on this sheet of paper, to bless three people, to find a way to bless some other people in our world, at least one of whom is not a Christian and not a person in this church, to eat with three people. Maybe it's just, as Peter was challenging last week, just to take somebody out to Tim Hortons or something like that and spend some time together and just chatting and seeing what God will do with that. And then this week, to spend some time really focusing on Jesus. What do you love about Jesus? What do you love about Jesus? You hear, Jeff, Jesus met him at a time of great need. He loves Jesus for the comfort that Jesus has given him and the help that Jesus has given him in the middle of great loss. What do you love about Jesus? We're praying this will be strengthened in all of our lives this week. And then I want you to know that in a couple of weeks' time, on June the 12th, we're going to be having a Sunday when we're finished with this series. We're going to be having a Sunday where we're asking you for God sightings. Now, what is a God sighting? We're going to ask you that over these last 6 weeks, as we've gone through this series, where have you tried some of this stuff that we've been teaching about? Where have you tried to bless somebody else? How did it go? Did you see God at work there? Where have you tried to eat with somebody and just spend some time with somebody who doesn't know the Lord yet? And how did the Lord lead through that? Where have you spent some special time learning more about the Lord Jesus? And what did you learn? We're going to be sharing some stories about how this has been going for us. And that'll be the major part. We're going to lift up Jesus that Sunday and tell stories about how we've seen him at work. And just before I finish, I want to recommend something to you about just focusing on Jesus. Ruth and I have really enjoyed these little movies. It's called The Chosen. I don't know if you've seen these or not. They're wonderful. They're taking the stories of Jesus' life. These actually are available at Creation Bookstore in London. But they're, is it Creation Bookstore? It is, isn't it? Yeah. And but they're also available online. It's called The Chosen. And these videos take the stories of Jesus' life and they dramatize them so that, and they're interpretive, that's true. But they're beautiful elaborations on Jesus and his ministry among people. So that as well as reading the scriptures, we can watch a movie like this that helps us, or we can read other books about Jesus that will help us to get to know him and to love him more. So anyway, I'm going to pause for a minute, and I'm going to ask you if you have any questions that you want to ask me or ask Jeff after this presentation this morning. So I'm just going to stop for a minute and ask you, do you have any questions? None yet. Any questions? Yes, Ruth. Yeah, thank you, Ruth. This was a comment about Jeff's story about just being open in a store. Is God in a hardware store? Could there be a conversation about meaningful life in a hardware store? So Jeff was sensitive to the Lord Jesus there and ready to speak a word about his faith in Jesus, even in a hardware store, and even to pray with a guy in a hardware store. Can you pray in a hardware store? Anywhere, anytime. Thanks, Jeff, for that. Appreciate it very much. Okay, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a worship song. Then we're going to be on our way. Thanks for coming today. Thanks for being here. For those of you online, just the same. The Lord Jesus is the center. He is so worth it. Lord, we thank you for this time today. Thank you for the blessing and help that you've been to Jeff and Paula and their family and to their extended family. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are real. You are not dead and in a tomb somewhere, but you're the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, still alive, able to save us from our sins, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us, for forgiving us of our sins, and for giving us a new meaning in life, for giving us a purpose to be free of that sin so that we can love you and serve other people in our world. We love you, Lord Jesus, very imperfectly, Lord, but we do love you, and we thank you, and we give our lives to you afresh today again. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. Come and lead us in a worship song, would you guys? Thank you.